Good morning, everybody, and Happy New Year. Just a note about teishos. Teishos are not meant to convey information or concepts in the usual way. Teisho is an attempt by whoever's giving it to express the Dharma as nearly as possible as it can be done in words. So don't try to analyze or judge what you hear. Simply let it flow through you. Listen with an open mind and an open heart. And if you need to change your posture, feel free to do so, but do it quietly and unobtrusively. And however you sit, keep the back straight and the head up. So this is the beginning of our winter Ongo practice period and the beginning of a new year, a new decade, in a new temple. I thought it might be nice to start off with one of the most fundamental teachings of the Buddha, the Four Noble Truths. They are, one, suffering is universal. All beings suffer. Two, the cause of suffering is clinging. What is it that clings? It is the separate, isolated self that clings, desires, avoids, loves, hates, and suffers. Three, emancipation from suffering is the giving up of that separate self. And four, the path to the end of suffering, the Eightfold Noble Path, right understanding, right intent, right speech, right action, right livelihood, right effort, right recollection, and right concentration. To practice this Eightfold Path is to take refuge in the three treasures of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Now, rather than go through an academic discussion, we'll take a look at an example of how they play out in a life. Today we'll take up transmission 30 in the Denko Roku, the record of the transmission of the lamp, Hueka to Sangsan. The case reads, the 30th ancestor, China's third ancestor, Sangsan, went to see the 29th ancestor and said, your disciple is suffering from a fatal sickness. I beg your reverence, please release me from my sins. The ancestor said, bring me your sins and I will release them for you. The master sat still for a while and then said, I cannot find my sins in spite of all my efforts. The ancestor said, I have already released your sins for you. You should rely on Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So in this case, we have Wei Ke, whose dates are 487 to 593 of the Common Era, and Sangsan, who is said to have died in about 606. These are the second and third Chinese ancestors. There is at this time no notion of a separate sect of Buddhism that we now call Zen. Only the Dharma, only the truth of things. We meet the ancestor Hui Ke in case number 41 of the Wu Men Guan. Bodhidharma sat facing the wall. The second ancestor, having cut off his arm, stood there in the snow. He said, your disciple's mind has no peace as yet. I beg you, Master, please, put it at rest. Bodhidharma said, bring me your mind, and I will put it to rest. The second ancestor said, I have searched for my mind, but I cannot find it. Bodhidharma said, then I have completely put it to rest for you. Sounds a bit similar to the present case, doesn't it? But there is a difference. As he stood in the snow, Hueco was begging for peace in this moment. Sungsan is asking for absolution of sins. And what are sins? They are deeds of the past for which we are suffering the karmic consequences. But does it necessarily follow that we need absolution? Are we guilty of sins in past lives? If so, we should all be consumed by guilt. There's no question that in our many thousands of past lives, we have committed many, many sins, sins beyond count, even as did the Buddha. Sungsan went to see the 29th ancestor and said, "Your disciple is suffering from a fatal sickness. I beg your reverence, please release me from my sins." Sungsan is said to have had leprosy. In ancient China, such diseases as tuberculosis and leprosy were thought to be of karmic origin, the result of prior transgressions or sins. Thus, Sungsan is haunted by guilt, obsessed with sins of the past, and terrified of still more retribution in the future. This notion of guilt and blame is a misunderstanding of the whole matter of karma. Where does karma come from? Karma is the energy generated by volitional actions, the actions that come out of picking and choosing. I like this, so I will do whatever I need to in order to acquire it or experience it. I don't like that, so I will do whatever I need to in order to avoid or escape it. But these thoughts and actions are generated by the deluded mind, the mind of the small, separate self. That mind is the mind asleep. And the thoughts and actions that come from that mind are the actions of a sleepwalker. If while sleepwalking you bang into a wall and bloody your nose, there's no blame, but there are consequences. You cannot be blamed, but you still have a bloody nose. What can anyone do to wipe out the past? How can anyone release another from the past? Can you somehow make your actions of the past disappear as if they had never happened? Sungsan begs, "Please release me from my sins." Sungsan is suffering. Of course he is. He is a human being with a human body-mind. Suffering is everywhere. That is the first noble truth. And by this I don't mean just the superficial suffering that comes out of a lousy relationship or a lousy job, flat tires and all that, the ordinary dissatisfactions of everyday life. I don't mean even a dread disease or fatal condition. I mean radical suffering, a deep and often unrecognized suffering that comes from knowing that nothing is permanent. It is far more serious than just our personal demise, which we all acknowledge. Not only will each of us die, but the entire universe will die. Suffering is that recognition of the transience of everything. The highest mountains, the great wide earth, the Milky Way, the farthest galaxies are nothing more than a candle in the wind of your own mind. We all experience this deep, radical suffering, but we must understand that our suffering is a blessing. Radical suffering is a universal truth of our lives. It is a holy truth. Without suffering, there is no practice, no realization, no enlightenment. We do not practice to find a cause somewhere in the past. This is the mistaken path of Freudian analysis, the aha school of therapy. Aha, I am unhappy because at the age of 4 I was in love with my rocking horse. That's not my line, it's Noel Coward's. But how does that really help? We experience suffering and then try to find some reason, a previous cause of this current effect. No, the cause of the suffering is not in some imagined past. It is not about some past behavior or sin. Cause and effect are not separate. They are together in this moment. The usual time-related thoughts of cause and effect are stratagems of the self to try to take control. But all such seeking does is to cause us to miss the intrinsically pure mind of this moment, to destroy the holy mystery of life, of our real life, of this moment. We do not practice to escape our suffering or even to understand it in the usual way. We practice to get in touch with our suffering, to know it completely, to realize it completely. Sun-san suffers now because he is clinging to something now, to many things, as we all do. It is the conscious self that suffers. But what is that conscious self, really? One of my favorite verses, which I quote a lot, is Wu Men's verse to case number 12 in the Wu Men Guan. When students of the way do not know the truth, it is because they only know their consciousness up to now. This is the source of endless birth and death. The fool calls it the original self. Our consciousness up to now is what defines this separate self, is it not? I was born on a particular date. I went to school here and there. I had such and such a job, got married, and so on and on. But the Buddha did not teach this, as we can see from a sutra from the middle-length discourses. A pernicious view had arisen in a bhikkhu named Sati. A bhikkhu is a monk. Thus, as I understand the Dharma taught by the Blessed One, it is this same consciousness that runs and wanders through the round of rebirths, not another. And the Buddha asks, what is that consciousness, Sati? Venerable Sir, it is that which speaks and feels and experiences here and there the result of good and bad actions. Sati's view of consciousness was pretty much what most people assume, an independently existing entity, a self, that feels, reacts, and experiences the consequences of actions. And even beyond that, it is a continuing entity from one rebirth to another. But the Buddha vehemently refutes this. Misguided man, to whom have you ever known me to teach the Dhamma in that way? Misguided man, have I not stated in many ways consciousness to be dependently arisen, since without a condition there is no origination of consciousness? The Buddha continues. Consciousness is reckoned by the particular condition upon which it arises. When consciousness arises dependent of the eye and forms, it is reckoned as eye consciousness. When consciousness arises dependent on the ear and sounds, it is reckoned as ear consciousness. On the nose and odors, nose consciousness. On the tongue and flavors, tongue consciousness. On the body and tangibles, body consciousness. On the mind and mind objects, mind consciousness. So there it is. Consciousness is constantly arising as a result of ever-changing causes and conditions. There is no entity called consciousness or a self. It arises from sensory input of each moment, as the sensory input of each moment. Consciousness arises from forms. Form and consciousness are not separate. There is no entity that travels from one moment to the next. Chertow writes in Identity of Relative and Absolute, "I see, ears hear, nose smells, tongue tastes the salt and sour, each is independent of the other." Sung San clings to his suffering. We all cling to aspects of our suffering. Why? Because it is by our suffering that we define and maintain the separate self. That is the second noble truth. The ancestor said, "Bring me your sins, and I will release them for you." Bring me your sins. A challenge. Bring me your past. Don't talk about your past. Show it to me right now, in this moment. Can anyone do that? For that matter, can anybody show me the future? The master sat still for a while. He sat still for a while. What is that while? How long is a while? It could be 5 minutes, or 5 years, or 5 decades. There's no record of how long Sun Tzu stayed with Wei Ke. But however long it took to realize this, I cannot find my sins in spite of all my efforts. I cannot find my sins. I cannot bring them to you. If you cannot find your sins, things of the past, and bring them forth in this moment, do they exist? Do they ever exist? Is there a self that exists? Do you exist? All you can ever demonstrate in this moment is this moment, this timeless moment. I cannot find my sins in spite of all my efforts. And how did Sung San realize this, that his sins had no existential reality? He searched and he searched. He examined his memories and all aspects of his mind. And guess what he found? Nothing. No thing. And if that mind contains nothing, does mind itself exist? Remember what Sung San himself later wrote. Things are things because of mind, as mind is mind because of things. In his search for his sins, Sung San discovers that they are not there. And if one's past actions are not there, where is the self? What is the self? The only way we can realize this nothing is to let go of the suffering, is to lose the self in the practice, to let go of the self. That is the third noble truth. And Wei Ke confirms, "I have already released your sins for you." But the ancestor is not finished. "You should rely on Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. Rely on the three refuges." In other words, the fourth noble truth, the eightfold noble path. Did Wei Ke cure Sung San's leprosy? No. Did he relieve his suffering? No. What did he do? He allowed Sung San to realize for himself the emptiness of all created things in this moment, including Sung San and all his past sins. By realizing himself and his suffering fully, Sung San extinguished all suffering, his own and that of the world. Even as Vimalakirti extinguished his suffering and that of the world. Now you might ask, but there is still suffering in the world. I see it every day. And I answer, yes, that is your suffering, and you must work to realize it fully, to extinguish it in yourself. You should rely on Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. That's the Eightfold Noble Path. That is the fourth noble truth. Let us all learn that lesson. And what does this practice of the refuges, the fourth noble truth, do? It leads you to this present moment. It is the only place where you can practice right understanding, right intention, and so on. This present moment contains all moments, but the conscious discursive mind cannot encompass it. But it can be experienced. In fact, it is experienced. How can it not be? But our self-created self can't handle it, because in the present moment, there is no room for thoughts of the self or past or future. There is no self, no past, no future. So in your practice, rely on Buddha, the great teacher and the great way, in this moment. Rely on Dharma, the great teaching, and the great reality in this moment. Rely on Sangha, the great community, all that breathes and does not breathe, in this moment. Keizan's verse to this koan sums it up. No comment needed. The nature is void. There is neither inside nor outside. Sin and virtue leave no trace there. Mind and Buddha are just like this from the beginning. Dharma and Sangha are clear in themselves. Together with all beings, we realize the way.